Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 188 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe, well, I'm here, you're not.
A bit further away, and by the sound of you, Jason, I'm glad I'm not sitting next to you.
Well, this isn't actually a proper cold. This is just the effect a lot of international travel has on
me. Yeah. Is it one of those where you're just a bit stuffy but you feel fine?
Well, I have felt pretty rough the last few days, mostly due to, I think, fatigue. I got back into the country on Thursday morning and it hasn't stopped. And it would have been easy, because when I did last week's show in Kuwait, that was recorded Monday night and released on Tuesday. I'd actually travelled on Saturday from Qatar to Saudi, then Saudi to Kuwait when I'd actually done the show record on Monday. Mm. Then on Tuesday, I flew back to Qatar into Doha. And then on Wednesday, I flew from Doha back to Heathrow in London. Then I had a 2.5-hour drive through snow back to the Midlands. And so it's left me feeling a little bit under the weather. It wasn't good for me.
Didn't you have any time off at all, Friday or anything?
None whatsoever, no. Oh. Because I was working on Saturday, or Sunday was a sort of day off, but it's the only day I've ever had for about 2 weeks. So, and I'm off to do it all again next week, but I'll tell you about that a bit later.
No, you need to have a rest, Jason.
How's your fortnight been since I last saw you?
Busy.
What have you been up to?
Well, we're moving our business, so that's taken up a lot of time.
But you can still get computer work done if you need it. What's the phone number for Michael?
If you give him a call on his mobile number, that's probably best, because we're in between landlines at the minute. It's 07552 607907.
Give us that number again.
It is 07552 607907.
And have a chat.
And he's fantastic with computer repairs.
There we go. So I'll give him a call if you need something fixing. Right. So nothing else though. Just that, and trying to concentrate on the rest of the world passing you by.
Yeah, well, no, trying to find time to actually relax is difficult, I think, nowadays.
Well, no, it's all stress here. What have we got coming up on the show today?
We've got Ty Matthew Harrison talking about his latest project.
And he's actually going to be popping into the studio and joining...
In my place.
He probably will get your seat, to be fair. There we go. Also,
I'll let him, because he's a nice chap.
Oh, you like Ty, don't you?
Yeah.
We'll be hearing music from Desolation Yes. Paul from the band joining us on the phone for an interesting combination of two nations. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on.
Ian Jones joins us too, talking about his antics as Porky.
But first of all, we're joined now on the line by Neil Taylor to tell us more about his efforts to raise cash for Birmingham Children's Hospital. Hello, sir.
Good evening, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed. I hope everybody's doing well there.
Fingers crossed, yeah, I think we're all pretty much all right. Zoe's a bit strange, but other than that...
Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Now, a few weeks ago we spoke to Graham Large, who, in your pub on New Year's Eve, spent his evening having his head shaved, didn't he?
That's right, Jason. Obviously, Graham's a good friend of ours down at the Fox, and he managed to raise £1,000 on New Year's Eve, as you say, cutting his much-loved hair off. And I think he might be keeping the new style look, to be honest.
I think it's easy to manage, isn't it? We'll see what happens from there. But
it was very spiky, wasn't it, before he cut it all off?
Yes, it was long and spiky, but everything's sold in with its suits in now, so you never know.
Now, you're doing something that's probably a little bit more challenging, though, this year, aren't you?
Yes, on April the 21st, I'll be running the London Marathon in aid of Birmingham Children's Hospital. This will be my first marathon. I've done three half marathons before, but obviously it's a totally different challenge to run the full marathon.
Are you in training for that then?
Yes, I did the Birmingham half marathon at the end of October last year, and to be honest, I've just carried on training since then.
Yeah. How far do you run per day, or do you do it every other day? Or
I'm running at five times a week at the moment, following a strict programme off the Virgin Marathon website, and I'm up to running about 15 miles per run at the moment.
I'm guessing that's through sponsorship, the fact it's called the Virgin Marathon website rather than the fact it's your first marathon, or is it just a happy coincidence?
A bit of both, to be honest, Jason.
Has it been a bit of a shock to the system, though, all this?
Yes, it has, to be honest. Obviously, when I was first approached by BCH to run the marathon, it was like, you know, a great honour to be asked. But obviously you think, oh, you know, it's only a bit of running, but obviously it does take a good 6 months of preparation and training for the big event.
It is an awful lot of running.
Yes. Have you lost much weight while you've been training?
I have, to be honest, because I'm not exactly built for running. I'm 6 foot, well, 6 foot six and 16 stone, so I've lost about a stone, and I'll probably need to lose about another half a stone to be at my proper fighting weight. But I'm feeling good. I'm really looking forward to it, and I know I'll be prepared for the big day.
Now, the reason you're supporting Birmingham Children's Hospital is because it's a cause very close to your heart, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Jason. When my daughter Kiana was born, within a couple of days of her birth, we found out she'd been born with a massive hole in the heart. And before she was, before she was 6 months old, she had undergone surgery three times, and since then she's undergone surgery a further two more times. Obviously now being 6 years old, but thankfully, touch wood, she should no longer require any further surgery. Obviously, she's still under the guidance of the specialist at BCH, but. Obviously, we'll never be able to repay the debt what they've done for us, so we'll continue fundraising down at the Fox to raise as much money as possible.
Well, give us all the full details of the pub then, so people know where to come and make a donation and maybe buy a pint or two as well.
Well, that's right. The Fox at Chipley on the Bridge North Road, obviously halfway between Wolverhampton and Bridge North. We have regular rents down at the Fox. Like I say, we're continually raising money for BCH. Our next planned charity event is on the 12th of April, where we've got Bully and Don Goodman coming down just for a bit of a fun night on a Friday night. They're going to be serving behind the bar and integrating with the customers. So if anybody's free on that night, come down and just chuck a couple of quid in the pot and have a good night and enjoy the company of Bully and Don.
Sounds like it should be rather good fun.
Yes, it will be.
Well, keep up the good work. It is much appreciated. Obviously, you know from first-hand experience what the guys down there do and how important their work is, and they need every bit of financial help they can get, it's from just helping to keep the kids in the right frame of mind whilst they're going to the worst trials and tribulations or paying for equipment. It's all essential, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is, Jason. Like you say, from everything, from keeping the environment that they're staying in, you know, bright, to keep them... try and keep them happy and whatever, up to, like you say, they've just recently opened up a new operating theatre in the heart unit, which cost £12 million. So, like you say, every penny does help and goes to a fantastic cause.
And do you have a Just Giving page for your marathon efforts?
I do, Jason. The details of the Just Giving page, if you just log on to the Fox at Shipley's website, which is www.thefoxatshipley.co.uk, all the details of the fundraising that we do are on there, and all equivalent links.
And people can follow your antics on Twitter as well, can't they?
Yes, they can, under the Twitter name of Wolves Fox. I'm on there most days, keeping an update of how the training's going and the fundraising events that we're doing.
And the weight loss as well, by the sounds of things. It sounds like a fantastic diet. I may have to take part in something like that.
Perhaps you should do like a sponsored weight loss at the same time. Make a bit more money.
Make some good cash that way.
Yeah.
Neil, keep up the good work, and we wish you every success, and we look forward to finding out how you got on after the event, okay?
Will do. Thank you very much indeed, Jason.
Thank you.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take our first tune from this week's feature band. They are Desolation. Yes, this is Shivers.
We have
Shivers from Desolation, yes. I'm joined now from the band on the phone by Paul. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's wet here, but I'm fine.
Well, you are in Glasgow, though, aren't you? So
yeah, well, it's always raining here.
I think they've missed out on the snow, though, haven't they? I heard on the news that you hadn't had much snow over the last week.
We had one day of snow and one day of hailstones, and it's just rained the rest of the time. So, good times.
So you were better off than us last week.
Yeah, I hear you had it bad.
No, well, I was out the country, so I didn't notice at all. But there we go. Right, now, Desolation Yes is an intriguing name in itself, because you don't get many bands with an actual exclamation mark in their title.
Yeah, brush you off.
But a Scottish-Slovakian band, please explain the origins. I'm guessing you're Scottish.
I am Scottish, yes. Well, the band started in Glasgow, just outside Glasgow, with me and my childhood friend. We started it in our bedrooms, and as the band started to get popular, we expanded and brought in some members. Just so happened they were both two Slovakian friends, so that's kind of how it all came together, and it's working well.
Now, having heard the first track, I'm not really looking for any Slovakian or particularly Scottish influences, but you do get the feel of the electro sound that you're going for there.
Yeah, well, we kind of came from a more electronic beginning. There was just two of us and drum machines and sequencers. And it's kind of become a wee bit more rocky over time. But there's definitely an electronic backbone to it. So, yeah, it shines through, I think.
2008 is when it really started to happen for you. So, yep. I mean, what's happened between now and then? And what's the big thing that's going to happen next? Because I know you've been getting a lot of national airplay as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been doing quite well recently. We were on a record label in Glasgow called Neon Tetra Records. And we had an album out called Cybernation, which is a lot more electronic based than this one is. However, we've decided to kind of we took control of the music ourselves and started to self-produce again and take things forward ourselves. And now we have the new album, and it's going pretty well. It's pretty well received so far, and we're very happy with what we've done.
Well, the album's out of orbit, and you actually started this back in 2011.
Yeah, it's been quite a long process. I think that we got too close to it, but like I said, we've put an awful lot of work into it, and we're very pleased with the outcome. So it's just time to get it out there and let people hear it.
Do you find yourself like tweaking it too much? Because I know with artists, sometimes you're perfectionists, aren't you? So
were you
messing around with it, and you thought, no, we've got to stop and just get the album out now?
It was important to make that decision, I think. There was a couple of tracks where we just spent a wee bit too long on it. And however the decisions we made, I think, were the correct decisions. I think we're all really pleased with what we've done. And it's something that we believe 100% in. And we've only got ourselves to blame if it's rubbish. So.
Well, next we're going to hear a track called One. We've also got Silence and Atrophy on the way. Now, are those all album tracks? And do they give a different picture of the whole album and sort of take us to the story that is the disc?
Yeah, it's quite a varied album, I would say. There's definitely a lot of musical influences in there. We are influenced by lots of different types of music and different genres, and you can hear a lot of it within the album, and we're not scared to throw things in or maybe a wee bit out of the ordinary.
And do you actually like go out to try and find different sounds you can use when you're producing your music?
It comes naturally. We wanted to try and make it as organic as possible, which is one of the reasons why we did self-produce, because I feel sometimes in the studio it doesn't feel organic, it doesn't feel natural, and we decided to do it more, I suppose, on location and more off the cuff a wee bit. And you know, the sounds that we did use were sounds we were messing around with at the time, and it worked, and we've done well.
And I mean, when you're on the road as well, how easy does it translate to a live performance? Because I know that you've actually played alongside bands like The Whip and Bruce Carter from The Whip. We've spoken to a few times. He's a friend of mine, and I think when he's setting up to perform, you've got to be very aware that you're trying to bring something to the audience, show them that you're playing and interacting, yet still get the electronic sounds that you know that is the core of your music.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember playing with The Whip, and they were having some trouble with their setup. Actually, their laptop, they use a laptop live, and they were having sound issues. And that can happen when you do this kind of thing. We use lots of electronics, lots of sequencers, and I suppose because that element of it is pre-programmed, you have a framework in place, but that doesn't mean that you can't be spontaneous, which I think we are live. So there is difference, there is spontaneity when we play live, and I think the bare bones of it is still there as well.
Well, I mean, it's a very enthralling sound. We're going to hear one next. Tell us a bit about this track.
This is one we were actually just jamming with. It was one of these ones that just came together. We always have a jam at the start of practice, and we really liked the kind of trippy sound of it. It's very trippy, and it's a wee bit different from the rest of the stuff. It's quite... it gets in your head. And I think that's why we started to work more on it, and we kind of... didn't have structure at first, and we pulled a structure together, put some lyrics together, and the song actually came together fairly quickly and fairly naturally. It's one I think it will stick in your head if you allow it.
So I think some of the best songs sometimes are ones that haven't taken that long to do and that have just been like on the spur sort of at the moment.
Yeah, it was very spontaneous.
Well, we'll take a listen to that. Well, first of all, give us details on your website and where people can buy your tunes, because the album's out on the 4th of March, isn't it?
It's out on the 4th of March, and it's on everywhere. It's iTunes, everywhere that sells it digitally. And we're at desolationyes.com, so you can find it there too.
But do you include the exclamation mark in your web address, or are you not allowed to do that?
No, we don't.
That's a shame.
<don't know>
do you feel naked without it?
I suppose. I've never thought of it that way, but maybe.
Paul, thank you for joining. It's good to talk to you, and thank you for the music.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.
Oh,
Desolation, yes, and one. Now, it's quite an odd one today, because Zoe, you're still talking to us via the magic of Skype, aren't you?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, in the studio, we have someone sat in your seat.
How dare he?
Yeah.
Yes, Ty Matthew Harris. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, I reckon. Yeah, good to have you along. And as soon as you and Zoe got to have a little chat whilst the tune was on, you were discussing eyebrows already.
This happens every single time, you know.
She's obsessed with your eyebrows.
Well, these eyebrows look ever so nice. I think every bloke should get their eyebrows done.
Oh, I think they should as well.
Yeah. What are yours like, Jason? I can't remember.
Well, there's one of them and they're quite happy, thank you very much. but there we go. Now, anyway, should we talk about what you actually came in for rather than just your facial fur?
Yeah.
Now, you've got a gig coming up, a bit of an event, in aid of charity.
Yes, indeed. It's a weird one. It's a funny one. It's not weird. It's basically the production company that I started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're doing this gig for charity through Thatch's Nine Productions. And it all just came about, really. I was at work, and I know Karen Gullick, and she approached me about maybe putting on some sort of event there to raise money for... I don't actually know the specifics of the whole event. All I know is they've asked me to plan an event.
You have an event, which
we have an event.
It's for Beacon Centre for the Blind.
Beacon
Centre for the Blind have got various ongoing projects, and they've been doing a lot of redevelopment work on the site.
Yeah,
and they've been rehashing the accommodation
and stuff.
And
it looks really nice. The Beacon for the Blind. I was like shocked when I went in there. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
They've even got hairdressers inside. I was like, you don't even have to leave. There's a shop, the hairdressers, everything. But like when I first went, like she walked me through the whole of the centre.
Yeah,
and just to. There's the living and the accommodation side, but there's the actual centre itself, and to see the facilities they've got there and how it really can make a difference to someone who's
blind or partially sighted. Yeah. It gives them somewhere to go, so an environment they can feel
safe
definitely.
In, and
with great facilities as well.
Yeah, like there's different rooms like that can. There's obviously there's a social side to it, but there's rooms where they can go and learn job skills, and there's a gym there that they can use, and there's just different. It is an amazing place, and it is an honour to be able to ask to do something mm-hmm. for such a worthy cause.
And it's all taking place on the 2nd of March.
Saturday the 2nd of March. The event is ticketed,
mm-hmm.
so if you want to come along,
yeah.
Is this where I put the?
This is where you do a plug now.
what you've come in for.
The number, the only number that I have got is the main. Switchboard to the Beacon for the Blind.
Yeah.
Because they are sorting out the PR. It's not something that I'm doing myself. But that number is 01902-880111.
Okay, Wolverhampton 880111. Have a chat with there and say, I want tickets for that thing what Ty's doing that he's not really
called,
sure about.
It is called A Walk Down Broadway.
Okay. You know that bit.
I know that bit, and I know what's going in the show.
When they turn
and I know...
up on the Saturday.
What was that, Zoe?
What can people expect when they turn up to your event? What have you got planned?
A treat. we've got a lot of different things. Like there's a lot of different music. There's seven of us doing it all together. Three lads, four girls. All the songs are musical, and all the shows have, at some point, been on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a selection of songs from like well-known musicals. Like there'll be a Hairspray section, a Mamma Mia section, a Ragtime section. We'll do some new musical stuff like. Next to Normal. We've got a couple songs from Next to Normal. We've got some from Joseph, some from Cabaret, some from Les Mis, obviously, because everyone loves Les Mis at the
film. And the way the film being out, yeah.
I love the film. But yeah, just there's, it is, I've tried to keep it all mainstream. Like, there's some new things in there that people might not know, which I know people might not know, but at the same time, it's like, I love going somewhere and hearing new things. So
as long as you've chosen good songs, it doesn't hurt, does it?
I've chosen good songs, yeah. So like, everyone will know a lot of the music that's in there, and mm-hmm. there are some really talented people doing it, which is good. I'm lucky to be. And I'm actually saying arrogant. No, yeah, the seven of us, we all work well together. We're a close group of friends, and you know, like they are super talented people.
Yeah, so. These are the ones who appear in everything, aren't they? Because you always get selected for everything that's going on anywhere in the Midlands. We've
not
talked about this for you before.
He's a very busy man. He is.
He's counting now. This is going to take a while.
Now there's seven of us.
Yeah.
three are new members to Nine Productions, but they are old new friends. They are new members, but you know,
you've known them for
we're
ages.
Friends. That's how I've known them for a while. And then obviously we've got my co-artistic director of the company. She's in it as well.
Ooh, names. Go on.
Which is Joanne Marshall.
Yeah.
Which when I did Bear, she was absolute godsend. She's mm-hmm. Oh, she's so talented, it's unreal. She's a lighting designer. She works at the Arena Theatre in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
But she's superb. She's really good. And she's the production manager of the project, so... And you're joining us, aren't you?
Oh, this is, well, I'm not singing.
Oh, no,
you are joining us.
I can point out I will not be singing on the night. Yes, I shall be just sort of linking it all together and telling people what they're about to hear.
Definitely, yes.
I thought you were going to say telling people jokes then.
You can add a joke in if you want to.
Oh, good. I'm not expecting a written script or anything. I'm like, come on, you're not going to prepare
now,
for
I can
this.
I'll give you some notes on what the musicals are about, but other than that, you can do what you want.
Okay, right. That's something to look forward to.
Definitely.
So, yeah, should be a good night. So what time does it all start?
It will all kick off at 7:30 at the Beacon Centre for the Blind. I don't even know what the name. I think it's like their bar sort of. It's like we're setting up a stage and area. They've got their own lighting rig, their own sound. Like it's going to be a good event. It's going to be good. So just come along.
Yep. And once again, the phone number 01902 880 111, and tell them you want tickets for
A Walk Down Broadway.
And how much are your tickets?
The tickets are £6 per person.
Mm-hmm. Not bad then.
So and well, I hope it'll sell out quite quickly. There are a limited number of tickets available. So if you do want to come, then please just come along. It'll be a fantastic night.
And it's quite an intimate venue, is it?
Yes. They're only selling, I don't actually know how much they're selling because I don't even know what the capacity of the venue is, but it is going to be a tabled event.
Yeah.
So, and there is a bar there, there are refreshments and everything like that. And obviously all your ticket, all, like the company, we're not taking anything from the event. It's all going towards charity. So mm-hmm. all seven of us is something that we're all doing off our own back.
And so. The fact it's on their own site as well, it means they're making the money from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's not going anywhere else. So
very good.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. We're all looking forward to it though, which is nice as well. All of us are excited to do it. It's a nice project that we're all doing together. So
sounds fantastic.
It's cool.
I shall look forward to the night.
You should.
And yeah. Make sure my dinner jacket's been dry cleaned. it's all important. There we go. Ty, good to see you again. Thank you for joining
you
us.
Thank
and
you,
we'll look forward to your performances on the night.
Thank you.
Let's take another tune from Desolation. Yes, this is Silence.
Silence. Silence.
Desolation, yes, and Silence.
And we go back to the phones where hopefully not silence, but in fact the dulcet tones of Ian Jones, a.k.a. Porky. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Give or take the cold, which hopefully you didn't manage to catch off me over the weekend when we were working together at Molyneux.
No, we didn't, but I did call you Stuart, so I don't call you Stuart anymore.
It was a weird afternoon, though, wasn't it? Suddenly, yes, you changed my name, even though I've known you since 1988.
Is it that long?
Yes.
Oh, right,
where
okay.
did that random name come from?
I'm not quite sure, actually. It's like when you're in the front of 20,000 fans, sometimes you forget things, and it was just a little mistake.
It's one of those things, but there we go. And we had some jolly good fun. You came down to do some pitchside presenting with us at Molyneux on Saturday. Result didn't go anywhere near the way we'd have liked it, yeah. But other than that, I think we had a good time.
We certainly did. I thought the crowd were great. I thought the new competition that we did at half time was brilliant. The kids enjoyed it. Although when I introduced the one little lad, he was very little.
Yes, wasn't a lot to him.
He was quite short, so I think it was slightly unfair because I think he had to run double than the lads with bigger, longer legs.
Yes. We're close to the ground. They should be able to go faster, I'd have thought, but maybe not. But,
it doesn't work like that.
So let's talk a bit about the past, because as I say, I have known you since the late 80s, and this is in your guise as the man doing travel, roadshows, shows, and all sorts of other in-your-face presenting-style stuff for Beacon Radio as was, and now Free Radio.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a rollercoaster ride and transformation. I joined about 88, 89, I joined... myself riding a motorbike around with a gentleman on the back called the Fonz. He sort of went into studio, and the program control at the time, Pete Wagstaff, said, well, have you spoken on the radio before? I said, well, no, I haven't. He said, well, here's a phone. I remember the phone was those Motorola things like Del Boy had.
Oh, the brick.
the big brick. Ones.
And so I went outside, I said a few words. He said, right, you start Monday. And that was it.
Yes, because yes. Fonzie is the lovely Rory Morrison. We spoke to him probably about 18 months ago, and we were talking then about his health and stuff. And he hadn't been well. He was feeling a lot better, but our thoughts go to Rory at the minute because he's back in hospital at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we're thinking about you, mate. If you do happen to pop past the podcast whilst you're looking at the window high above the City of London in hospital, but you've done some interesting stuff over the years, though, in your days with Beacon and now Free.
Interesting stuff, I think, yes, you could say that.
Your favourite stories probably involve a bus, don't they?
Well, they probably do, actually, because the one day they came to me and they said, we hear there's big problems on the Hindley Road going up towards Dudley. There's long delays. And I said, yes, it's me driving the big blue bus. So that didn't go down too well. And, sometimes they used to get me, it was one of them zany ideas, oh, why don't you go do the traffic and travel in a bus, what, in rush hour? And the other thing was that people used to wave me down thinking I was a proper bus. That was quite funny.
You could have made some good money at that.
I could have, actually. I might have got in trouble with the local law, but, you know.
Well, it's only a little thing. No, we would not condone that in any way whatsoever.
No.
But you've done roadshows from literally up and down the country. In fact, did you ever get to go over to France and do the stuff from Euro Disney when they did that back in the 90s?
No, I didn't, actually. I haven't done this stuff abroad for Beacon. I mean, the corporate side of it. I've had some fantastic times in Austria and also in Portugal, where I got to introduce a Harley-Davidson festival for 4 days on the beach in Portugal, which is quite nice. So I quite enjoyed that.
I
get all over the place. In fact, I'm off to London tomorrow for a 2-day conference in Heathrow. So it's not just radio. I do a lot of corporate work all over the UK and Europe as well.
And as I say, it's not only that side of things, but there is your other interest in motorbikes and the magical world of Speedway.
The magical world of Speedway. What can I tell you about that? It's quite ironic. I've been at Wolves about 22 years. 22 years at Wolverhampton.
Wow.
And in the last 2 years, I've become the centre ring presenter for the Dudley Heathens, which used to be Cradley Heathens.
The arch rivals.
The arch rivals, and the Cradley fans hated me with a vengeance because I was black and gold. And so it caused one or two problems, as you can imagine, but the Nigel Pearson, the guy from Sky Sports and the chairman of Dudley Heathens, he took this bold decision to say, well, we want Porky to do our meetings for us on Tuesday night at Monmouth Green, because I do Wolverhampton on the Monday nights. So I took the decision, and I have to say, I was absolutely gobsmacked at the reaction I got, and 2 years on, I'm still there. We're back for the 2013 season, not just for Wolves, but for the Dudley Heathens as well.
And it's a fantastic sport. It's so quick. I did some coverage for it back on the Wolf in 97, 98, something like that.
Yeah.
In fact, probably summer of 98. And I'd be down there each Monday night and with my little mini disc machine, having a chat with the riders after the racing, and it would obviously go out on the news the following morning. And it's just everybody gets so into it, and it's great though. It's such a fast sport.
It is, and I think in all fairness, I mean, at Beacon, when it was Beacon, I had a very hard task. I took it on myself, actually, because Speedway sort of demised a little bit on the airways. So I took it on myself to follow a great man by the name of Mr. Pat Foley, God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. He was like Speedway mad, big Cradley fan as well. And so I took it on myself to cover a few matches, and then I got the chance to go to the World Finals at Munich in Germany, which I did. And then I was at the night in Bradford, I remember it like it was yesterday, the meeting, the World Cup meeting, where Eric Gunderson basically ended his career, where he came off the bike and he got run over by about three or four other machines. And that ended his career. But I have to say that I actually met up with Eric back in, I think it was September of last year. And he still walks with a limp, but he hasn't lost that passion and drive for Speedway. And it was amazing. Over 500 people turned up on an evening with a talking with Eric Gunderson, and he was absolutely taken back by the support. So I have very fond memories of Speedway, highs and lows. Mainly highs, I have to say. I mean, I love Monday nights and I love Tuesday nights as well.
It was fantastic fun doing that. I mean, I know we have great fun working down at Wolves, and you enjoy when you've joined us over the last few years, and you do your bits and pieces at pitchside when we've got you down for a game. The passion that you put into this sort of thing, though, does it wreak havoc with home life and things when you're doing this sort of stuff?
It does when you rupture your tendon and your leg. Yeah, I have a tendency at Wolverhampton, undoubtedly, to be the probably the worst world. What's what I'm looking for? The worst dad dancer in the world. I managed to did a take of Stavros Flatley, and I came out dancing onto the track, and my foot went into a rut, and of course my tendon snapped. So then I had something weak faster.
Ooh,
sounds painful.
It doesn't. Yes, it was at the time. Well, actually, it was at the time, but I carried on, and as you do, you know, through Wolverhampton spirit. And that guy said, "You've got to get a hospital." And of course, then they said, "Yes, you ruptured it." And it was a bit of a nightmare, really, trying to get around, because you can't drive when your legs in plaster from your ankle up to your backside, basically.
No.
But there wasn't just that. Of course, one of the referees. I have a bit of banter with the referees, and one of the referees took it on himself last year to get his own back. And what I do, it was a Tuesday evening, doing the Mexican wave with all the fans, getting all the kids going. So I start running from the first turn up towards the starting gate. And, of course, they've got tapes that they hold down, and that's what basically starts the race. So the referee presses the button, these tapes go up. But, of course, he'd left them down, so I was running towards the crowd, up towards the starting tapes, and just about to jump over the starting tapes like a gazelle when he let the button go. And basically, he tripped me up and went straight flat on my face. Much to the crowd's approval, they were well happy at that.
I'm sure they were really pleased.
So, it's an interesting occupation I have.
And quite a dangerous one as far as health insurance goes as well, by the sounds of it.
Not health insurance.
Where did you get your name from, Porky?
Because he's a little chubby, come on.
No, come on, I'll tell
well,
you.
I don't know.
It was a friend of mine. I was, because my surname's Jones, they used to call me Bones, but currently, as you probably, Jason will probably testify, I'm not really bony anymore.
No.
No, and a mate of mine used to call me Porky, and it just stuck, and then when I joined Beacon, the Pete Wagstaff said, "What should we call you?" I went, "Oh, I don't know." He says, "I could call you Captain Traffic." I said, "No, I don't want that now." "So what's your nickname?" I said, "Porky." He said, "That'll do." So that's where it started, really.
And you got a follow-on from Fonzie as well, hadn't you? So it needed to be something fun.
Well, yeah, it did. I tell you, one of the highlights with Fonzie, when he used to ride Fonzie, he used to ride in the back, of course, he was doing the reports. We went out one snowy morning, and we were going down the Penn Road, and it got a bit thickly snowed in. And I just said, "I'm not going to make this turn." And he says, you are. I said, "No." We went around this island, like, sideways. How the hell we stopped some, but we managed to. And he never lets me forget that one.
You're a nightmare let loose in public, by the sounds of it, but there we go. If people do wish to book you for your corporate work or discos or anything else that happens to be in the repertoire these days, how do they get in touch?
Well, they can get in touch with me. Of course, email, which is jjnsharley@aol.com. Or they can speak to you, my new manager.
It does seem to be going that way just at the moment, doesn't it? But there we go.
Can I just say something, though? What's I have that? To say, I'm very privileged. I've been a Wolves fan all my life. I mean, I went to the 1973-74 League Cup final. That was my first ever big major game. And my uncle bought me, I think he took me to Everton v Wolves in 1973. We beat Everton 5-1 and Mike Bailey scored. And then, of course, from then on, I've always followed the Wolves, even down to the dark depths of the 4th Division, where I've been down to places like Hartlepool, Exeter, Scarborough, and things like that. But for me to walk out onto the hallowed turf is something really special. It really is.
I know the honour and privilege of doing it myself, and it's just an amazing feeling being out there and introducing the team onto the pitch, isn't it?
It certainly is. It is. It's a great honour. And I tell you, Pete Wagstaff used to say to me, he said, I don't care if you've had a bad day, or the wife's kicked you out, or the taxman's after you, as soon as you walk out to wherever you're doing anything, you've got to have a smile.
Yep, it's the way to do it. They can tell whether you're smiling when you talk.
I'm smiling and laughing now. I'm just about to have a beer, actually.
Well, you go and enjoy that. Keep the weight up. That's what counts.
Yes, thank you.
It's padding for next time you fall over. That's the only reason.
Yes, it is.
Good to talk to you, mate, and I'll catch up with you again soon.
All the best, Jason. Thanks.
Cheers. Bye. Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
That's time for our fourth and final song from Desolation. Yes, this is Atrophy.
Possibility, an open mystery.
Desolation, Yes, and Atrophy. And that's our final tune from them. And Zoe, thank you for joining us, even though by the magic of Skype again
virtually.
This week. Yes. Well, next week, I'm due to fly to Saudi on Wednesday.
Right.
So for next week's show, I should be joining you from probably our factory in Jebail.
The factual factory.
Yep, so depending on how the network works, depends on how much is just me talking about a factory in Jebail in Saudi Arabia and how much is us all having a nice little chat as we would normally do here in the Milk Bar. Okay.
Perhaps you could find somebody like into charity work over there or somebody from the factory interesting to talk to. That'd be good.
I'll see if I can get some of the guys on to help co-present and get you on the line as well. Okay.
Yes, that'll be good.
We'll see what happens with that, but thank you for joining us for this week's show and we'll be back next week. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from